has been still.
He's the man.
Dynamite.
With red hair, freckles, and bedazzled girly pants.
I bedazzled those front pockets myself.
Danny!
Oh, ha, 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 ha.
Karate dude.
I'm the transvestite guy.
Beat up a tranny and got arrested in the nude.
That is the greatest story I have ever heard.
Booze, ludes, cowboy boots, he smokes three packs. Even let an old lady shave his sack.
That's how I was raised.
Danny!
All right, the man's done a lot of living.
You know what I would like? If one word of that were fiction.
But it's all true, except for smoking now.
I have not smoked, and my voice actually sounds worse, you might have noticed, but there is so much buildup, and my doctor told me this would happen, well, a doctor told me this would happen, that it starts to come loose and it'll sound worse, and the smoking gum doesn't help.
All right, it is the Conway and Whitman Show. We're live at 97.1 Free FM. Danny Bonaducci sitting in for Brian Whitman. He'll be back tomorrow. And it's a little after 9 o'clock. That must mean news with Robin, everybody.
Now,
C-74.
Live from high atop the Miracle Mile, here's Robin with the news.
All right. What's happening? What's in the news, Robin?
So many things are in the news tonight. Well, unfortunately, first and foremost, tonight we are down one regular co-host.
Uh-oh.
Brian David Whitman is out. But here is a clip of a phone call Mr. Whitman placed earlier today, which might explain his absence.
W24. All right. I've never even heard this. Let's give it a shot.
Thank you for calling the Excused Absence Network. This is Jolene. Who am I speaking with?
This is Brian Whitman.
Yes, Mr. Whitman. Please hold.
Are you going to put me on hold? You're too busy to talk to me?
Thank you for holding, Mr. Whitman. What can we do for you today?
Well, I got to get out of the station for a couple of days. I mean, that mother... Randy Wang and Timmy Conway, man, making fun of my Scott Shannon story. I've had enough, you know. 21 years, man. I don't deserve this, you know. My partner loathes me. Everyone on the show loathes me. Management hates me. I need to get out of here.
So
what excuses do I have left?
Please hold for one moment. And
you're not putting me on hold.
Okay, sir, if
why do you got to put me on hold? You don't want to talk to me? I'm your number one customer.
You can't
talk to me?
If you'd like to stay on the line, I'm happy to have you hold the line. One moment, please. I'm just going to take a look at your chart here and see what we have left.
21 years, never experienced anything like this, man.
Wow. Mr. Whitman, it seems that... Could this be right? It seems that you've actually used every single excuse on our log. I don't know that this has ever happened before with the Excused Absence Network.
But I'm at the station more than I'm not.
I understand that, sir, but it does seem that you have exhausted all of your options with Excused Absence Network. We have a strict no-duplication policy.
On this for 21 years, man.
I realize that, but it is just too risky to start repeating the excuses. I'm afraid you're going to have to call elsewhere.
You know what? Oh, I think I just heard Lycus mention my name. I don't think I need you tonight.
All right. Thank you very much, Mr. Whitman.
All right. Are you going to hang up on me now? We done here? Hello?
Wow. I'm going to quit.
All right.
Wow.
All right. Anything else in the news, Robin?
Well, yes, presidential hopeful Hillary Clinton has won Texas, Ohio, and Rhode Island for the primaries.
Wow.
This is a huge win for Clinton, who has been trailing behind Senator Obama this entire process. And here is a clip of Senator Clinton talking to her supporters about her win. H-181.
All right, H-181. Hillary Clinton, man. She's still alive.
Boy, thank you, Ohio. Ohio and across America who's ever been counted out but refused to be knocked out, and for everyone who has stumbled but stood right back up, and for everyone who works hard and never gives up, this one is for you.
There she goes.
Wow.
Hillary Clinton's back in it.
Yeah, she's backing people to stumble and get back up. Yeah. I'm backing you then, too, babe.
Did you think she was out of it?
Yeah, I did.
I did, too.
I thought she was done.
Yeah, I thought she was toast. I thought Obama would have won Texas, Ohio, Vermont, and Rhode Island. And
I still don't think she's our next president.
I don't know who is our next president, but but she's got a much better shot today than she did yesterday.
Oh, that's for sure. Who saw that coming?
Nobody did, but as Whitman said, you never count these Clintons out.
Whitman
never
said
count,
that?
Yeah.
I'm quitting.
Yeah, he said that too. He's never right about that either. I'm at the station more often than I'm not. So is the carpet, but it actually is on the air.
Right.
Oh, sorry, man. That come on.
I think it did, yeah. Who dumped that? No, we didn't. Okay.
Hate that inner monologue thing.
All right. Anything else in the news?
Well,
Rob?
Yes, Obama reacted quite cordially to Clinton's wins, and we have some audio of Obama's gracious words for Hillary.
Oh, 142. Barack Obama.
Politics is a game of ups and downs, and we had a terrific winning streak, but Senator Clinton deserves credit. She's tenacious, and she works hard, and she did well in Texas and Ohio.
I don't like when they're so nice to each other
that. Because it proves that they're either A, liars,
right,
or will not protect me and my country in a time of crisis. If you are defeated and that polite about it, Obama wants my vote, right then he should have said, I can't believe that bitch beat me. I would vote for him right then. I'd go, that's it. There's a guy who won't be beat and doesn't like it when he is.
Yeah.
That's a good president.
Yeah. But they're so kind to each other when they get beat, and then the next day they'll run an ad smearing the other person.
Oh, yeah.
And the inconsistency is what turns a lot of people off.
Well, I think, and that's why we're dangerously close to a parliament. As soon as voting falls off to a certain level, and I forget what it is, won't we automatically turn into a parliament?
Is that right?
I believe so, yes.
Oh, boom. All right, a lot of kids are in it, though, nowadays. They said 70% of 18 to 34-year-olds are into politics this year. Isn't that wild?
I think it's good. I think it's one of the first few questions I ask a woman on a date if she exercises her right to vote.
And if she doesn't?
I probably wouldn't take her seriously anymore.
Is that right?
Yeah, it's your God-given right. If you're a good American, you vote.
So no matter how big her cans are...
Oh, I'll still have sex with her.
Oh, I see.
Right. She could be a complete commie. I'll do it with her.
All right, there you go.
Just not going to do it twice.
Okay. All right, anything else in the news, Robin?
Well, finally, I would like for Tim, for you to be careful of this in the future, and also you, Danny.
Thank you.
A child's birthday party at Chuck E. Cheese restaurant was cut short after a fight broke out between two mothers. Police say the mom of the 9-year-old birthday boy apparently became enraged because the other woman was blocking the view of the mechanical Chuck E. Cheese band.
Oh.
Catherine Aliaga and Tarsha Williams, both of Boston, would be summoned into court to answer charges of simple assault and battery stemming from the scuffle. And we have audio from the security camera of the infamous Chuck E. Cheese. C-13.
All right, C-13, a fight at Chuck E. Cheese.
Wow.
How disgusting.
Celebrate good times, come on! Yeah, celebrate!
excuse me?
What?
Hi, ma'am, could you sit down, please? I have a whole crew of birthday boys here, and, well, they can't see the show.
I ain't sitting down. I'm at the Chuck E. Cheese show. You should have got a good seat up front if you wanted to see the Chuck E. Cheese show. Woo! I love you, Jasper T. Jones! Woo!
Ma'am, please, can you sit down? My little birthday boy, Jimmy.
Jimmy.
He can't see. It's his birthday. He can't see the Chuck E. Cheese show. Ma'am, would you please sit down?
I don't give a crap about your birthday boy. I'm here to see Chuck E. Ass Cheese, bitch. And I don't care if he performs every hour on the hour. I got an all-day pass. Woo! I love you, Mr. Munch!
Jim, and I have had about enough of this. Now, you
I
sit down,
sit
or
down.
You will
sit
you
down.
Down.
You want...
Serious fight, man.
There they go.
Wow.
You know, I've been to Chuck E. Cheese 1,000 times with my daughter. And if you miss the Chuck E. Cheese show at 12:05, it replays at 12:15, 12:20, 12:25, and so on.
I
fight over that show.
I think I may have the world's funniest Chuck E. Cheese story.
Is that right?
My son had his birthday, or my daughter, I don't remember which one, but we were at Chuck E. Cheese celebrating a birthday, and Eric Estrada is a friend of my family, and he was invited.
Right.
And the man got stuck in the tubes where you crawl through.
All right.
And they had to unscrew stuff to get him out. And he got paunch from chips stuck in one of the Chuck E. Cheese crawl through tubes. I thought, I'm going to go on the radio tomorrow and I'm going to talk about Eric Estrada stuck in the tube at Chuck E. Cheese, and nobody's going to believe me. Jesus but I swear Christ. To God, he was, and a good sport about it. We laughed and fixed his hair when he got out, but I watched Ponch get stuck in the tube at Chuck E. Cheese.
Jesus
it's a big
Christ.
Night out, man.
You know, I was in Las Vegas. I'm sorry, in Hawaii with my dad, and Ponch was there from
Chips.
There you go.
And he came up to my dad and he says, don't you hate it when you know people come up and you're on vacation, people ask for autographs. And my dad has always been very gracious. He says, I never mind. If people, you know, whatever I am, if I'm in the bathroom and somebody wanted me, he always remembers that he's only there because of them.
Right. Absolutely.
And he says, yeah, he said, and so Ponch said, I just hate to be recognized. Then he goes out on this like and gets and stands out in the middle of the ocean on like a sandbar and whistles to his assistant that he wants an iced tea. So everybody on the beach is now looking at this guy.
Jesus I just can't believe Eric Estrada can still afford an assistant.
This is a long time ago.
Apparently.
But evidently the guy made a lot of money. You know, I guess there was a big lawsuit with the chips.
Yeah, the story is that he was so angry he made them pay him in suitcases of cash.
Is that right?
But it's just lore. I don't believe it. Yeah. But I believe he walked with $12 million.
Wow.
Cash money in a payout.
But that's, you know, and then he went down to Mexico and he was a big star on Mexican soap. Opera.
Unfortunately, man, his Spanish sucks. So they had to tolerate that, and he had to take Spanish lessons.
His Spanish was terrible?
His Spanish is awful.
And now he's selling property in Arizona. He's on fire.
Now that stuff looks good to me. Do those deals ever look good to you?
You know what? I always go to pick up the phone and buy one of those stupid acres for like $8,000.
It's right on the lake, the sun shining, some hot chicks water skiing, and the property, it's right on the lake and ready to build, and it's $4. Okay. My condo was $11 million, and it's no bigger than this room. Where do I get the lake?
I do the same thing. All right, anything else in the news, Robin?
Oh, that's what's happening.
All right, Robin in the news.
Thanks,
everybody.
Robin.
From America Miles
in Los Angeles. Robin. With the news.
All right, folks, it is time for you guys to play Danny Bonaducci in Name That Tune. Yes, Danny Bonaducci, who was the star of the Partridge Family for how many years?
Four and 96 episodes.
96 episodes. And it's syndicated?
Oh, yeah.
And
it's on again.
People are looking at that? You're getting any money from it?
No, I never got. Do not dig this, because everybody thinks I made all this money, went crazy on drugs at 15, and that's why I went broke. I made $400 a week,
wow.
26 weeks a year, no residuals.
Wow.
When I turned 18 and got this vast sum of money, it was like my allowance.
Jesus Christ.
Went in a month.
Wow.
Yeah, I was homeless within a year and a half.
Did mom and dad dip into it?
No. My mom and dad made a comfortable living, so they're fine. They're just $400 a week. Make it this way so we don't have to do math. It's $200 a week for a full year.
And what were the ratings on that show?
The ratings were huge. We've got to remember this. When American Idol has their huge show, they get 23 million viewers and they throw parties like you can't believe.
Right.
Partridge Family had 40 million viewers every Friday night.
Is that right?
Yeah, there were only three channels, man.
So if you had 40 million viewers every night and you were on a network right now, you'd probably be making $25 million a year.
With syndication? Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Maybe even more. That's like Seinfeld money.
Well, I would put myself and David Cassidy, being the romantic lead and me being the comic lead of the show, I would put my pay at approximately, in the fourth year, $600,000 to $750,000 an episode. Plus
I bet that's low. Because in Friends didn't have 40 million people looking at it, and they all made $1 million, and there was six of them.
Right.
I bet you could have made $2 or $3 million an episode.
Wow. If you only had a time machine to go along with your words of wisdom. Oh, you're right.
Well, maybe you can recreate it, you know? Get everybody back together.
Not a chance.
No.
Especially after the last time I talked to Cassidy. I don't think he's going to be real friendly with me.
Didn't you fight him?
He bugged me, and I explained to him that he bugged me. And then I explained to him that he was no bigger than my leg, and that I would crush him into little tiny David Cassidy pieces.
And you did.
I said, you know, when I was jealous of you when I was a kid, I pulled the head off your doll. Wouldn't that be weird to recreate that moment in real life, David? And that's when he ran.
Yeah. All right. It is time to play Name That Tune with Danny Bonaducci. All Partridge Family songs tonight. Look at that. And
is this a game you normally play?
Once in a while we do, yeah. Yeah, but when we have somebody who is so associated with a series as you were, and so many great songs that came out of that series, we thought, well, naturally you know all of them. It'll be easy for you, right?
So you've got the Monkees and who else?
We got the Monkees, the Partridge Family, and I think Rent.
My kid did a my 11-year-old. She was 11 at the time, and they put on a school play. So I go to the school, and when I show up at the 11-year-old school anyway, and after breaking Bonaducci and everybody thought I was a super freak, I just thought it'd be funny to join the PTA and actually attend the meetings and just stand there and scowl. It was just it was just so fun. But anyway, they put on Rent. And I'm yelling after the show loud enough. I'm talking to my wife, but I want to make sure people can hear me. And I go, wait, I'm a little confused. Was my daughter the Puerto Rican whore junkie? Or was she a straight out bisexual heroin addict? Which one was my 11-year-old? A little inappropriate, don't you think? Rent at an elementary school?
Was it a private school?
No, my kids go to public school.
Public school? Yeah. They still do? Wow. All right, LAUSD?
I don't know how you spell it. Yeah, is that right?
Yes, sure. Holy Christ. All right, here are the phone numbers. You can play against Danny Bonaducci. If you beat him, you're going to get yourself a prize. And we've got a couple of prizes here. The TurboTax Deluxe Edition. And we also have a four-pack of tickets to Good Guys, the second annual Orange County get-together. The annual McGuire's, is that right? Is that how you pronounce that? McGuire's Orange County get-together.
And if you live within 7 miles of the radio station, I will bring it to you on the way home tonight.
What is that, by the way, Manny? You know. You give out the prizes. What is that prize? I don't understand it.
Good Guys, McGuire's Car Show. It's like, McGuire's that car wax stuff.
Oh, I see. Oh, okay. I thought it was like the baseball player. All right, 520-9710 and 888-520-9710. If you're a big Partridge Family fan and you know these songs, you're going to be playing against Danny Bonaducci. Who, by the way, is going to be in a boxing match. When are you going back to Pennsylvania?
I'd say a week from Saturday.
And now when you fight, most of the money usually goes to charity?
Yeah.
That's very nice.
I'm not going to fly across the country to beat up some weatherman, because it's always some stupid-ass weatherman or third banana on a radio show that my name comes up somehow, and they always go, that guy thinks he's so tough. By the way, no, I don't. I really don't. I'm 5'6", 157 pounds. I don't think I'm that tough. I just think you shouldn't have said, he thinks he's so tough, I should kick his ass.
How tall would you like to have been?
If I had my way, I'd be about 6'1", I think.
Right. Right. And then a lot of your angst would disappear, you think?
No, I think I'd do a great deal more damage.
Now, if you ever fought, I wanted to ask you this on the air. Have you ever fought Carolla? Would you beat Adam Carolla?
In a boxing ring or outside?
In a boxing ring.
No, not a chance.
He would destroy you.
He doesn't smoke. He's in relatively good shape. He's not in real good. He'll be in great physical condition after Dancing with the Stars. He's going to be ripped for about a month.
Right.
But he trained as a boxing coach, so if we're in a boxing ring with rules and a referee, he would dance around for a couple rounds till I couldn't breathe, and then he would just beat me.
Punch you in the face.
Yeah. But having said that and having...
Would he knock you out?
No, he wouldn't even knock me down.
Ten rounds.
No one's ever knocked me down. But he was a boxing coach, so I truly believe in a boxing ring he would win. Having said that, I have to live up to my reputation. If he ever made the terrible mistake of saying, hey, you want to settle this outside, that would be an entirely...
You think you would own him in the parking lot?
Well, no. I don't understand the rules of fighting fair. That seems like the stupidest thing in the whole world.
I see,
right? I'd say after you and then club him to death with something when he turned his back.
All right, Danny. Now you've crossed the line.
All right. Look at that. Hey, Adam's in here prepping the show for tomorrow.
No, I'll tell you one thing, though, with that whole separation thing. That man never said a rude word to me, ever. That's a fine gentleman. I like him a great deal.
Excellent. All right.
Nice job, retards.
All right. Hey.
Adam, I never got.
All right, it is time for Name That Tune, and Robert's going to be up first against Danny Bonaducci. How are you, sir?
I'm fantastic. Hello, Danny.
Hello, Robert.
You know, I have a Partridge Family question I'd love to ask you. I've been wanting to.
I'm a guest. Is it cool? We have time for this kind of stuff?
Yeah, sure, buddy.
Fantastic. Well, it's about Susan Day.
Yeah.
So she made some sci-fi movie in the early 80s, I think. You were probably about 20 years old.
Yeah.
Do you remember it? Did you see it? And how hot was it to see... somebody you've been working with doing a topless scene.
There was a movie she did with a cat named, actually his name was Cat, William Cat, a blonde guy named First Love. And she was actually full frontal naked in that movie, and I was only about 16. Whoa. And it was just shocking. It was like
you enjoyed it though, right?
Well, I knew why I was going to see. I was going to see Susan Day naked. That was the point.
Did you ever see her behind the scenes?
Yes. I climbed up on the top of her dressing room, and you could peer down between where the curtain rod attached to the wall, and the curtains began. And I leaned over the top, and I saw her stark naked and was very pleased.
You probably still remember that.
I do. I remember, out of all the women I've ever had any kind of romantic liaison with, you'll always remember your first. And I'll always remember seeing Susan Day naked.
Yeah. How old was she when you saw her naked?
She was probably about 19.
And you were what, 8?
13.
Oh, you were that?
No, younger now. I was probably 12.
Wow. Look at you, man.
By the next year, I was doing it.
Did you flash some of that $400 a week you were making?
No, because she was probably making $550. Are you kidding?
All right, Robert, you ready here?
Yeah, I'm here.
All right. As soon as you know the tune, Danny will say his name, and Robert, you'll say your name. And the first person that gets it wins a prize, although Danny doesn't really qualify for these prizes because he works here. All right, you ready, dude?
Yeah, I think I'm ready.
All right, again, say your name as soon as you know it. Here we go.
Danny.
All right, Danny.
I think I love you.
Yes! Oh, congratulations! One of the great songs of all time.
I wouldn't answer so fast if I thought you were going to play the friggin' thing. Jeez.
And right in the middle of a good dream, all at once I wake up from something that keeps knocking at my brain.
God, this song is burnt into my skull.
That's so great. You know all the words? You know the words?
The reason I know the words to this particular song is I toured with David Cassidy as his opening act for a year.
After this series.
Yeah, and I figured out mathematically that he has probably sung this song 15,000 times.
Jesus Christ. All right, second song. Let's talk to Greg in Orange County. You're on 97.1 Free FM. You there?
Yep.
All right, if you know it, say Greg. Danny knows it. He'll say Danny. Here we go.
Amy is at home killing herself. She knows all of this. Danny?
Danny.
Wait, I think I'm wrong.
What is it?
Is it Cherish?
No, it is not Cherish. A time for Greg to steal. Here we go.
Go, Greg.
Good luck, dude.
Will there come a day when you and I can say we can finally see each other? Will there come a time?
Anything?
No, I gotta hear the chorus.
No, all right, here, we're almost up to it.
We can find the time to reach out for one another. We've been traveling in circles such a long, long time, trying to say hello.
What is it, Greg?
Hello.
No, it is not. It's I'll Meet You Halfway.
Oh, that's better than no way.
Yes.
Wait, I'll meet you halfway. That's better than no way. No, that's all the words I know.
That's it. All right, gang. It is Name That Tune, Danny Bonaducci, the Partridge Family versus the Callers. It's Conway and Whitman. In for Whitman is Danny Bonaducci, and we're live at 97.1 Free FM.
Lay down and thought about you. I thought about the way that it could be. 2 o'clock, wondering what I'm doing here alone without you.
Remember when Tim Conway had a partner?
God damn, am I getting tired of this?
No, not Doug Steckler. The next one. The guy who doesn't show up.
Shut up!
Yeah, him! He's not here. It's Tim Conway, and Brian Whitman's not here. On 97.1, SoCal's FM talk station.
Get your freaking act together here!
All right, welcome back. It is the Conway and Whitman Show. We're live on 97.1 Free FM. Danny Bonaducci sitting in for Brian Whitman. And what a station to be absent from. You know, you're absent from KBC, and they say, well, Al Rantel's not here. He'll be back tomorrow, and let's talk about politics. But here they take massive shots at you.
Well, there are a couple of things I would say to Whitman. One is, my contract's up soon, and you're not that good. I would just toss that out there.
That's mean, Tim. You were mean and rude.
I wouldn't say it. Danny said it.
I'm a big fan.
When is your contract up?
January 2nd.
Oh, it is? All right.
I can't imagine what they're going to do
with me. You signed a
1-year deal? Yeah. Well, no, I signed a 2-year deal, and they kept me. That's the weirdest thing. They said, we're going to put you in this non-existent shift for an hour, not ask you to take a cut in pay. So I can't imagine what is going to happen January 3rd.
Something will happen in January.
Something huge will happen in January.
My life is hell.
Right. All right, it is time to play Name That Tune with Danny Bonaducci.
By the way, huge Partridge. To me. Maybe completely insignificant to you guys. No, I just imagine my life will change dramatically.
I think a lot of people's will. I mean, there's a lot of, you know, radio is a real tough business right now.
Yeah.
I mean, for the people who are on the air and off the air, there's a lot of, you know, Clear Channel is... cleaned house over there.
Sure have.
So is Citadel. I mean, everybody is...
all right, you're irritating!
Right, hey, Brian, please. And this station as well. I mean, it's, you know, stations go, you know, radio goes up and down, and who knows? I mean, Howard Stern's contract is up in, what, 2011?
Is that what it is?
Wait a minute, he started in 06.
He started in 06, yeah, 11, because it was a five-year deal.
So,
for half
six,
a billion
seven,
dollars.
8, 9, 10, so the... On January 1st of 2011, he could be back on.
Right. They offer me a job there almost every other day.
Is that right?
Yeah.
I'm quitting.
Where, at Sirius or at the... Why did you take it?
You want to know one of the main reasons I didn't take it? There's no way to check your ratings.
On Sirius?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought there was an absolute way.
No, there's no way. Well, they said at the time that I was free to join them when I actually went to our boss, Jack Silver, who most people know as a character because people, you know, kid with him.
Right.
He's just a nice boss. He's really the boss. I make that on my show. I make that clear. I don't make him a character or a joke. I let people know that's the real boss who's just a good sport. He could fire any one of us at any given moment. And I brought him in my contract from Sirius that they had offered me. And I said, I'd rather work here with Carolla. I think Carolla's a genius, and I think the two of us together could do really wonderful things. So I turned down a fair amount of dough to go to work with Carolla.
Wow. They should syndicate your 2 to 3 hour on Sirius.
They should take that. Nobody does 2 to 3 like Bonaducci.
It would be, 5 to 6 on the East Coast?
I said, you know what's funny? I have a one-hour show, which means I have 23 hours to prep.
Right.
And I still walk in without a pen and hope for the best.
All right. It is Name That Tune, the Partridge Family Songs with Danny Bonaducci, and Jimmy in Ontario's up next. Jimmy, how are you, sir?
Hey, what's up, guys? How you doing?
All right. You ready to go?
Yeah, let's do it.
Jimmy, to me, and I certainly don't mean to offend in any way, but you don't even sound like a guy that if you thought you were going to win this, you would even admit it. I would never admit to anybody, you know what I just won? I won a Partridge Family contest. Are you gonna,
just a big fan of you.
Oh, well, thanks, man. So, because if we send you, like, some really cool prize, will you lie to your friends and say you won it in another way, that like we arm wrestled or something?
Yeah, no doubt.
Cool.
Right,
and by the way, I'll back you, dude. If anybody calls up and said, did you get beat in an arm wrestling contest last night? I'll say, yeah, I did.
Okay. Oh, so, hey, do you still have that 5305 tattoo?
Showing it to him. I've got my sobriety date tattooed on my arm. I can't even see what it says. What does it say?
It says noon today.
It says
5605 tattoo just after you.
And it's totally wrong. I drank like 2 weeks later. They're just random numbers now. They don't mean anything.
Were you drunk when they were putting it on?
Yes, but I did the math. I was wasted. And I'd walked into the tattoo parlor and I said, I want to get my sobriety date tattooed on my arm.
Good. Come back next month.
Which, of course, obviously is not today. But I'm going to go to rehab tomorrow, so let's go with tomorrow. And then I thought, well, wait, it'd be really stupid to go to rehab sober. You should be totally wasted since it's your last day.
Right.
What's the date the day after tomorrow? So once all of us drunks figured out that it would be the 3rd or the 5th or whatever it is, we all put that on, went to rehab, got out, and drank on the way home.
Well, you know what you could do is make the 5305, turn the O into a 1, and you buy yourself another 7 years of drinking and drugs.
You also kill a good story. And there's nothing worth a good story to me.
But who was it? Sam Kinison said, drug rehab costs you $10,000.
Right.
Show me a guy that has $10,000 in cash and he doesn't have a cocaine problem yet.
Right. Of course, then Sam Kinison said,
So long.
So there's a couple of quotes from Sam.
All right, Jimmy, you ready here?
Yep.
All right, here we go. Name that tune. Jimmy, you say Jimmy if you got it. Danny, say Danny. Here we go.
Sound like this.
Come a down,
Danny.
Yes.
That's the next words of that title, right?
Right.
Breaking Up is Hard to Do.
Yes.
Neil Sedaka.
Yes. There you go.
Breaking up is hard to do.
There you go. Look at you, man.
Don't want to break anybody's anonymity, but I spent 28 very uncomfortable days with that man.
You get yourself a TurboTax Deluxe Edition. Good luck.
Thank you.
All right, let's talk to Philip and Fullerton. You're on 97.1 Free FM.
All right, Conway and Bonaducci, what's going on?
How's it going, man? Ready to go here, dude?
All right, yeah. Real quick question for Danny.
Yes, sir.
Who actually got more women, you or Cassidy, on that show?
Well, Cassidy, you got to remember, dude, I was like 10 years old. The first time I was with a woman was actually a Cassidy cast-off. He had so many women packed in his dressing room, this one could not get in. And I guess her theory was any partridge in a storm, and she took me to my dressing room and made a man of me.
Holy Christ.
And I like to say I gave that woman the best 30 seconds of her life.
Wait, that's where you lost your virginity?
Yeah, in my dressing room.
In your dressing room. And how old were you?
13.
And she was?
I'm going to go with 20-something.
Wow.
Yeah, by
today's
standards, all illegal, man. She should have been in jail.
Yeah.
But you know what's even grosser? She's like probably 70 now.
Well, she was in her 20s.
I was 13, and let's make her 10 years older than I am. I'm 48. She's a 58-year-old woman.
Right.
Jesus. Can you imagine running into her on the street, missing some teeth and stuff, just coming out of the meth house?
What if she came out at 58 and said, for old time's sake, let's do it one more time?
Oh, yeah.
You do it.
Sure.
Right.
If I wouldn't get in trouble for it, I cannot see saying no to a woman for any real... I mean, if you've got 3/4 of your limbs, I'll do it with you.
All right.
I just have issues in that department.
A friend of mine who lives in the Valley, I asked him what his age range was when it comes to chicks, and he had one of the greatest lines. He said he has a pretty sort of liberal window. 8 hours after they're born and 8 hours after they die.
That is a liberal window. I don't go by age.
Dating pool.
I go by body temperature. Anything under 91 degrees and I'm not sleeping with them.
All right, one last one before we go to break. Let's talk to, we were talking to Philip, right?
Yeah, Philip.
All right, here
we
go. Philip, you say Philip, and Danny, you say Danny. Here we go. Good luck.
Oh, I know this one, too.
It's one of those nights when you turn out the lights and you sit in the dark and say to yourself, I miss her. It's one of those moods when your body broods and you conjure up her picture and you kiss her. It's one of those things for the pain it brings. You say to yourself, hey, couldn't I live without it?
Oh, Danny. It's one of two titles. It's either It's One of Those Things... Or it's One of Those Nights.
One of Those Nights. Congratulations, man. Look at you, dude.
I swear to God, my stalker girlfriend, who I've just started calling that right now, is at home. I swear she's probably gouged out one of her eyes by now.
What was it? Did you actually play an instrument on the show?
No.
Legitimately?
I held an instrument on the show.
What was it?
A bass
tambourine?
Guitar.
A bass guitar.
No,
you never knew how to play the bass.
No, it was about, I remember the third episode, Cassidy just... wigged out. And you got to understand, I remember thinking my father was huge. And then when I grew up, I noticed he was 5'2". I used to look at David Cassidy as bigger than life. The man's a twig. I'd snap him in half. But at the time, I looked at him as like a god.
Right.
And he turned to me on about the third episode and he said, you don't strum a bass, you pluck it. And I went, okay, man, pluck it.
All right, Danny Bonaducci sitting in for Brian Whitman. We're playing Name That Tune with Partridge Family Songs, 520-9710 and 888-520-9710. And we're live at 97.1 Free FM. All right, welcome back, everybody. It is the Conway and Whitman Show. We're live at 97.1 Free FM. Danny Bonaducci is with us, and we're wrapping up Name That Tune with the Partridge Family Songs.
Now, I don't know the parameters of your show and your etiquette completely well. Am I allowed to say the name of the game we'll be playing on my show tomorrow?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, we're playing Name That Tune with Danny Bonaducci tonight on the Conway Whitman Show. And tomorrow, if you join us, we'll be playing Name That Poon. I'll be playing short clips of pornography.
Right.
And the first person that can, you'll hear, huh, and then you get Steve! Jenna Jameson, and you win. So remember, okay. Name that poon tomorrow between 2 and 3.
Tomorrow, 2 to 3.
By the way,
right
that's a
here.
Lie. I do no production of any kind. There'll be nothing.
Somebody
like
will
that.
Do it for you.
I'll just be talking. Right. No, they won't. I took all the money. They told me that to my face. They go, Badici, you've got all the money we're giving you. Just go in there and talk.
No screener, no idea, nothing. No topics, no guests.
I say, hey,
or is
you.
That somebody else?
That's Mr. KBC.
Oh, I see. All right. All right. It is Name That Tune. A couple more songs here, then we'll press on. Kevin in Cypress. You're on 97.1 Free FM. You ready, dude?
I'm ready.
All right, here we go. You say Kevin if you get it. Danny, you say Danny. Here we go.
How do these words start faster?
Window walking downtown, feeling mighty good. And I noticed from the corner.
Oh, this is the one where he talks. This is pointing me in the direction of Albuquerque.
Yes, look at you, man. You are the winner, dude.
Because
pointing in the direction of Albuquerque.
He starts talking in the middle of the song. He does that in a couple of different songs.
It's the first rap song I've ever heard.
He does that, and he does it in a song called Echo Valley 26809.
And were you playing all these? I mean, you were
no,
on stage.
I never saw the reason that some of the, like, I know all the words to right. all of these songs because... Mondays were dedicated to only the song because the songs were a music video.
Yeah, it was a big hit.
You had
the
to
show,
do a
yeah.
close-up of Cassidy. You had to do a two-shot of the drummer and the tambourine. You had to do a single of me, then a double of me and Susan Day, and then a double. It took a whole day. So I would hear these songs 50 times, maybe, in a row.
How old were you when you started Partridge Family?
10.
Were you drinking then?
No.
Coke?
No.
Meth?
Nothing.
Weed?
Nothing.
Pills?
Nothing.
When did that happen?
Who does that at 10? I mean, although
it just seems like you've been in the diamond lane for most of your life.
For quite a while, but not at 10. I think I started drinking where it became a fun thing to drink, not a novelty. Where to like right. sneak a sip, where I wanted to drink by 14.
14.
Yeah,
oh, that's not bad.
No,
and you currently have how many chicks tattooed on your body?
How many women's names do I have yeah. on my body? I have 7 women's names tattooed on my body.
Jesus Christ.
And how many do you remember being with?
I can only recognize 5 of them. I don't know who Jane and Sue are for the life of me.
But they're tattooed on your
yeah.
body.
I was told that Jane it was a waitress at a sushi bar. My friends told me, no, this is a really hot waitress. You scored, dude. Which
wow.
makes it worse because apparently she was really hot. I don't remember the experience, yet I have the name permanently etched into my body. But I do weird things with tattoos. I must have shown you this one. You must have seen this one by now.
Ah, bub, boom. You don't have to take your pants all the way off. I can see from here. What does it say?
It says Dr. Tadoff. He was my first sponsor when I joined this radio station, and he said I can remove names, and so I went to a tattoo parlor and got his in big block letters and said remove
Jesus
that.
Christ.
And then everybody wanted to see it because they didn't believe I'd really do it, so I kept it.
Did the guy remove a couple of tattoos
yeah,
for you?
Yeah, actually, I only went a couple of times because my wife, who will be my ex-wife, wanted me to get this wedding ring tattoo off my finger. Because the problem was I kept forgetting I was married, so I thought it'd be a nice gesture to get a tattoo of a wedding ring that way it wouldn't come off.
Right. It looks like it's sort of removed.
I was only 2 treatments. I got to go with these guys. Aren't even my sponsor anymore, but I got to tell you, it totally worked. That was 2 treatments. And they say it takes a really long time, but it doesn't really. It's just that it takes 30 days before you can have it done again. The zapping on this, the 2 treatments collectively, took 12 seconds.
Oh, I see. All right.
Yes.
No pain, right?
Oh, no, there's a little pain involved.
Okay. Yeah,
a little sting there.
All right. I didn't hear that in the spot. All right, let's talk to Laura in Huntington Beach on 97.1 Free FM. How are you, baby?
Okay, how are you?
You ready to play here?
I don't know. I think you've gone through all the pressure.
No, we got one last song here that's good.
And
are you ready?
I'm very pleased to be talking to a woman about this.
Oh,
this.
Yeah, look at that. Do you have Laura tattooed on your body?
Not Laura. I think I might have a Lori,
L-O-R-I. Oh, you got a lot of room. You got a lot of open skin.
There's a lot. Yeah, there's. When I wear a T-shirt, you can't even see that I'm tattooed.
No. But,
well,
I mean, but now when you're topless, you can see them all.
Yeah. Well, I like to work topless. It's a little warm around here.
It is a little strange, but...
You'll get used to it.
All
everybody
right,
does.
All right.
Now, who am I playing against here?
Laura.
Laura, were you a big Partridge Family fan?
I was.
All right, here you go. You ready, baby?
Alrighty.
Here we go. Name that tune. Laura, say Laura. Danny, say Danny. It's Name That Tune.
God, they just all ring a bell so fast.
all around, but every street I walk, I find another dead end.
I'm going to say Danny. I'm going to go with I'll Meet You Halfway.
Wrong.
No.
Opportunity to steal, Laura.
You couldn't have played I Woke Up in Love this morning again?
I know there's someone just waiting somewhere. I look around for her, but she's just not there. Doesn't somebody want to be wanted like me?
I'll say doesn't somebody want to be wanted like me?
Congratulations, baby. All right, you're going to get yourself a copy of TurboTax. You make enough money to pay taxes?
Yeah.
All right, hold on a second.
I'm a physical therapist.
Really?
Oh, that's pretty neat.
And where do you live?
Huntington Beach.
Too far for my personal physical needs.
Massage or mostly?
Everything.
Yeah. All right.
Everything?
Well.
You may have won a better prize than you thought.
All right. Hold on one sec, Laura. A copy of TurboTax Deluxe Edition. No other software makes it easier to get your taxes in order. TurboTax.com. To find out more, it is the Conway and Whitman Show. In for Whitman is Danny Bonaducci, and we are live on 97.1 Free FM.